This is the State of Things from Triad Stage in downtown Greensboro. I'm Frank Stacio. Thank you. North Carolina suffers more damage from HB2. The NCAA has pulled 7 championship events out of the state, including the first and second rounds of next year's men's basketball tournament. Those games would have been played here in Greensboro. In addition to Greensboro, the city of Cary takes a big hit. The Wake County suburb will lose 4 key championship events. A statement from the NCAA Board of Governors says, current North Carolina state laws make it challenging for host communities to deliver on the organization's commitment to promote an inclusive atmosphere. A spokeswoman for the North Carolina Republican Party called the decision absurd. In a statement, Cami Mueller said, quote, I wish the NCAA was more concerned about the women who were raped at Baylor, unquote. The NCAA's decision follows an announcement by the NBA that it would pull out the Pro Basketball All-Star Game from Charlotte next year and comes less than a month after a federal court judge in Winston-Salem issued a ruling that limits the state law. That ruling said the University of North Carolina system could not enforce the statute's restroom provisions against 3 people who filed suit. Well, the continuing damage from HB2 is certainly felt across the whole state, but we are in Greensboro today, which is set to lose big games in next year's men's basketball tournament. Ed Harden is a sports columnist for the Greensboro News and Record, and he joins us now. Welcome, Ed. Good to have you here.
Thank you, Frank.
Tell us about this decision. NCAA board met yesterday to decide to move the championships out of state, although this decision really had been delayed a little bit, hadn't it?
Yeah, they actually gave North Carolina a little time to come to its senses, but as it's done over and over again, as the NBA did, as the federal government did, but at no time has North Carolina come to its senses.
Well, I mean, that's, you know, certainly an opinion, but the governor doesn't share that opinion, but the fact is, and I think what you're getting at is, there were warnings and the NCAA was making it clear that we're going to do this, we're not kidding, right?
This became a standoff very quickly, and I think Governor McCrory dug his heels in and basically dared him to come at him, and here we are.
Here we are. So tell us what has been lost in total here.
Well, the economic impact is whatever you make it. I've heard $14 million, but it's a bigger deal than that, particularly here in Greensboro, where it's such a part of the fabric of who we are. I mean, there have been more NCAA tournament, men's tournament games played in North Carolina than any other state, 251, I think, over time. And it's been since 1985. Every single year we've had a postseason game played here in Greensboro. So this will be the first since
1985. Since 85. There were, what, 3 games in that first and second round, right?
So yes, first and second round.
City of Cary as well was hurt by this, not basketball, but in other sports. They've been working really hard to get some championship games.
Yeah, these things come together over time, and it takes an entire community and so many people and money and in-kind services. And for this to be pulled out from under them at this late date, I mean, I can't imagine. The NCAA believes it can move it somewhere. We don't know where yet, but this really hurts a small town, a suburb like Cary.
Yeah, they've been working at it for a long time. What are the games? It isn't basketball, but there are other sports that they...
Men's and women's soccer. There was lacrosse in play, golf. Right. It goes across the board.
So now we're talking about 2017, but the NCAA is now looking at down the line for its four-year plan for placing these tournaments. And again, North Carolina's in the crosshairs.
Yeah. Every 4 years, the bids go out. North Carolina had 29 championships, I think, in the last bidding process. They've delayed it again to give North Carolina an opportunity to move towards center, I guess. I'm not sure what they want to see, but that could hurt North Carolina even more in the long run.
Well, because it affects them for the next 4 years,
right?
So whatever decisions aren't made, if it isn't changed before that decision, that's it. We've picked other cities, and now see us in 2024
would be the
next time we'd see those games in
They'll
the state
move
of North Carolina.
North Carolina has such a long history, and it's a consistent history. You wonder how much damage this really does if we miss an entire 4-year segment.
What kind of fallout and response have you seen here just in Greensboro?
Well, I mean, I think it's all about sports on one level. And like I said, it's a big part of this community, and I think people are going to wake up here in a few months and realize just what this means. But it has far more far-reaching effects that that we don't even know yet. I mean, we'll see. But, you know, I think part of what's going on is our state is changing, and we're really curious. We want to know how this is going to play out because, as you mentioned earlier, this is a growing state. And a lot of people live here that didn't grow up here. So we'll see.
Well, we're seeing big-time sports, big-time corporations, big-time entertainers all saying. So the common understanding of what this is, the common sense of what HB2 is that it's discriminatory. And yet there is this, I mean, if you look at the broad range of industries, individuals, entertainers, all of whom have said, we cannot come to your state with this discriminatory legislation. Yeah. It seems to be the nation has pretty much spoken, and North Carolina may or may not adjust. ACC also, we're talking about the NCAA, but then, you know, the conference as well has some decisions to make, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's any number of championships are played right here in North Carolina, including the football championship in Charlotte, which, if you listen to the commissioner's comments yesterday, you could interpret that as saying that might be in play now.
All right, well, we will stay tuned. Ed, thank you so much for being with us. Ed Hardin, sports columnist with the Greensboro News and Record. Thank you, Ed.
Thank you.
Well, in other news, yesterday the Winston-Salem City Council recommended that the Rolling Hills apartment complex in East Winston-Salem be sold to a new owner on the condition that the buyer brings the apartments up to code. Residents have long complained about deplorable living conditions at the federally subsidized units. The complaints drew the scrutiny of the U.S. Representative Alma Adams and the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. Jordan Green is senior editor with the Triad City Beat. He's been following the story closely and joins me now. Jordan Green, welcome to the State of Affairs. Right, so tell us a little bit about this story, because it's somewhat complicated. We're talking about Section 8 housing, subsidized housing. There have been allegations of fraud, but before we get to that, the longer series of complaints has to do with the living conditions there, right?
Right. First of all, thanks for having me. It's great to be here. So Rolling Hills is actually a low-income housing community that's owned by a private owner, a company based in New Jersey. And they collect Section 8 subsidies for all 110 units. I've heard as much as $600 or $700 per unit. So this has been a very troubled community for years. It used to be owned by the Housing Authority of Winston-Salem. So what we changed hands, different owners. What we've seen in the past 8 months is mounting housing code violations with sewage backups, mold, holes in the walls, electrical outlets that will spark when you try to plug something in. And the city council has just gotten fed up with it and is eager to push the current owner out. And so as you mentioned yesterday, they approved a financing plan for a new owner to come in. And contingent on that is that they would invest $42,000 per unit. I also just want to mention that the city over 3 months cited this community for more than 600 violations, which is 96 out of 110 units.
Well, so you say the city, it's privately owned. The city obviously has a stake in this. What's the city's authority and what kind of power do they have to actually get rid of this?
Yeah, so it's a revenue bond. It's a stream of money that comes through the North Carolina Housing Finance Agency. And basically the city as a housing agency has to sign off on it. So they hold a lot of leverage in the transaction.
All right, and this, in a lot of ways, this plays into the larger question of gentrification, which Winston and Greensboro and Durham and all the big cities in North Carolina are facing.
Yeah, absolutely. Before, if I may, I neglected to mention the allegations of fraud, if I could
tell us
just quickly get to that. So a former employee, former maintenance supervisor came to us and alleged that that the Aspen Companies, the owner, is defrauding the U.S. government by charging for vacant units. The Aspen Companies has denied the allegation and, in fact, categorically denied everything that this particular employee says. It doesn't have a great amount of bearing on the ultimate fate of the community, but it carries a sting because a lot of residents and community members are resentful of the community profiting from what they consider to be human misery, and this is another example.
Will this happen then? Is the fact that the city has done this mean it's going to happen, or can Aspen sort of fight back and maintain control?
Well, our understanding, I spoke to a representative of the prospective buyer, and they said they have the property under contract and expect to close on it in November. So,
all right. Well, I've got about 20 seconds left for the gentrification question, but
okay.
it is part of that.
We'll hit it quickly. Winston-Salem has a spectacular revitalization in the downtown, a lot of tech jobs coming in, and there is an incredible pressure on affordable housing. All of the new housing being built is luxury housing, and continually we see poor people without a place to go, and this is kind of the pincer that the residents of Rolling Hills are caught in.
Well, we will stay tuned. Thanks for your reporting, and Ed Harden, thank you both. Jordan Green, senior editor at Triad City Beat. Earlier, talked to Ed Harden, sports columnist of the Greensboro News and Record. Just ahead, we're going to talk about a new exhibit at the Weatherspoon that looks at the portrayal of white women in advertising. But first, we're going to hear some music that you will hear much more of later in the program. DeShawn Hickman is here from the Allen Boys, and he'll give you a little sample of his music right now.